Welcome to Caldwell University Conversations. I'm Colette Liddy, Director of News and Media Relations. We are approaching commencement, a time when college graduates are looking for their first opportunities to work in a field that is interesting, fulfilling, and at the same time pays their bills. What goes into a career search? How do you strategize to make the most of your job search? Our guests today have valuable experience for graduating students and for alumni who have experience and know that it is time for a career change. I'm delighted to welcome Christine Saluga, Assistant Director of Career Development and Planning at Caldwell University, and Linda Luciano, a Caldwell University alumna, higher education professional, and career coach. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Christine, let's start with you. You work in the Office of Career Planning and Development, preparing university students for their careers or job search. How early do you start with students having this conversation?
It really needs to start when they start school. The seed needs to be planted. We'll often say, you may not be ready to hear what we're saying to you right now, but one day you will remember that career planning and development is here for you, and you'll have an aha moment, and you'll come visit us. So really, the sooner the better. There's internship planning that needs to go on. So there's steps. So, as I said, the sooner the better, really. It's not good to be a second semester senior and decide that it's time to work on a resume.
So you start that conversation very early.
Exactly.
Linda, I just heard you do a fabulous presentation to students here at Caldwell, to several courses of students. And you also work with alumni or people who are more mature, who are looking for a career change, women. What are the conversations you're having with them when they first come and talk to you?
Well, it really depends on the individual. Each person brings her own unique goal. So we establish what that goal is depending upon where they are in their career. Some people come looking for a new job. Some people look for a promotion. Others are looking to relocate across country and finding a new opportunity in a new state, in a new institution. I work with a lot of women who work in higher education. And depending upon where they are, that's what we're talking about. And many times, women, depending upon their age, some of them have reached a stage where they've worked in the same institution for 30 years, and now they say, now what? I can retire, but I have so much more to give. What can I do? And that's the question we answer.
And how do you do that with the now what? How do you ascertain what comes after that?
Again, it depends on the individual. So we sit down and say, what do you like to do? Do you still want to stay in higher education? I have one client who was thinking of leaving higher ed, and after I had sent her a list of questions, she realized that she really wanted to stay in the higher education, but not in the institution she was at. Things were changing at that institution, and she wants to make a change. And she lives on a farm, a cattle farm, actually. And she can relocate to a different state, but as long as it's nearby. So, again, she's looking for something in operations. She's a vice president. She's in enrollment services, and she wants to stay in that field, but in a different institution, because she realizes that she loves working with students.
Let's talk a little bit about that word networking. Some people are uncomfortable, not used to that word. Students, that's something new for them. Even people like the woman that you're talking about who've been in the same position for years, it's something to get used to, right? And what is networking? If you could start, Christine.
Sure. Well, I think that is actually a different answer depending on who you're talking to, and it can be difficult for young people, and it could be and older people as well. I don't love networking personally. It can be very difficult to be around people with whom you have maybe little in common, and you're not sure how to break the ice. But as adults and professionals, we overcome that, and we do it. So you can imagine. Students, And especially in the world that they live in today, where everything is at their fingertips on their phone and through technology or the computer, making a phone call is difficult for them, let alone actually going out to network. I had the opportunity recently to invite students to a local Chamber of Commerce meeting. It was students were invited. So three students, we offered to pay for their attendance. Three students came with me, and they were awesome. They did a really great job, and I would say they were probably better at it. They were more natural at it than I was. They were very curious. There were vendors there. They did a wonderful job at it. But to most students, networking is something that's done through social media. It can be done via LinkedIn or other online formats. We do provide a networking breakfast here and other networking events, but I would say a small portion of students come because it's out of their comfort zone.
Linda, I know you have three levels of networking. Can you describe that?
Sure. So what I like to tell people is networking is about building relationships. It's not transactional. And I suggest to people to think of the people in their network as A, B, or C. And so the A people, they connect with them on a monthly basis. They send them interesting articles. They send them birthday wishes, anniversary wishes, congratulations wishes. They send them anything that is going to be meaningful to that individual. It's got to be about the other person and not about me. It's not about me. The B people, you send it to them on a quarterly basis, and the C, it's twice a year. And as I like to tell a story, I have a friend who built a relationship with someone for 20 years, and because of that relationship was able to secure a position as a dean of a university. Mm-hmm. It was through telephone calls, it was through LinkedIn, it was through emails. He is so good at networking, and if each one of us actually cares enough about the people in our network, it won't become as difficult as it is when you are at an event and meeting people cold, because you've established these relationships over the years.
So how do you start to build that network? How do you start to network? When you're first starting out in the field and you want to get in front of people for informational interviews, how do you do that?
Well, what I like to tell people is you ask for a warm introduction. And a warm introduction is someone who you already know is going to refer you to someone else who you want to meet.
Right.
So it's not a cold call. It's a warm call. And if that person, the person you know, is kind enough to write either an email or pick up the phone for you and say, I'd like you to meet Linda. She is interested in a career in pharmaceutical sales. Would you be willing to sit down and talk to her about what that means? And so then you have that informational interview where you're really looking for information, which is different from a fake informational interview where you're hoping to get the job. But yes, you're really, really looking for information about it. And then you can discern for yourself if that's what you're looking for as a career. And if you are, then you ask that person on the informational interview for another warm introduction. You never leave an interview without a warm introduction to the next person.
So that's
person.
How you build your contact.
That's how you build your contact list.
Your sphere of networking.
Yes.
How beneficial is something like LinkedIn today?
Well, I know when we just met each other that you, Linda, thought you had heard my name before, and I said, oh, we're connected on LinkedIn. So I find it incredibly useful. I find that joining groups that are groups that you have something in common with, like the Caldwell University has an alumni group, which we encourage students to join, especially those who are in their senior year, so that they can find people who have walked this path before them in an area that they're interested. And as you mentioned, ask for maybe an informational interview, a phone call, an email. Just reach out. Don't go asking for a job as your means of introduction. So I find it informational, and I find it extremely useful in getting to know what's out there and, again, who's been on the path before you, so you're not starting from scratch.
Is it helpful for your clients, Linda?
Absolutely. What I do for my clients, what I have done is, if they're looking for a particular job and they have an organization that they're interested in, I will ask them if they know anyone in that organization. If they say no, what I do is I actually connect with someone in that organization and then ask them if they'll talk to my client about opportunities. So I've done that a couple of times, one for a student who was a chemical engineering student, and another for someone in the higher education sphere. So both. It's very, very helpful.
Now, the resume, I know we could do a whole podcast just on the resume, correct?
Yeah.
But
yes.
Christine, you're starting with students, some who have no work experience. So what goes on the resume in that case?
Well, you know, it's funny because the resume is really about the career counselor getting to know the student that they're working with. You can't have a Dropbox for resumes and just proof it and send some on their way. You've got to know the person that you're talking to. So if they have no prior experience, and say they're a freshman, as a freshman, they are allowed to have their high school on their resume, their high school GPA, National Honor Society, athletics, anything that they...
Clubs, any positions.
Absolutely, anything that they were interested in. And also, depending on when they're visiting our office, it could be second semester, they may have joined a club or two on campus. So as time goes on, the resume, things need to fall off. It's I always say it's like an inverted pyramid. It's like the way you're taught to write for journalism, right? The most important facts at the top. So the heaviest things, the weightiest things that you have that are relevant to what you want to do should be at the top of your resume. So those old things start to fall off. We tell them that hopefully by the time I see you again, sophomore year at this time, all those high school things can come off and be replaced with things that you're building now. And then that grows through junior year, and as they take internships, a second internship, maybe become an officer at a club on campus. Some people come in with so many things that they've already done. International students who have taken gap years, who have done a lot of volunteer and humanitarian work during that time. I find that a lot. So it really is something that is a very individual experience, something that's one of the reasons that I love doing what I do, because that's how I get to know the students and help and enables me to help them.
That's wonderful. Linda, I would imagine that very often you're looking with your clients at skills they've had in one career and how those skills are applicable to the other career that they might be interested in. Is that correct?
Well, actually, no.
Okay.
So what we look at is a lot of the women that I help are in higher education and want to stay in higher education. So what we do is we customize their resume for the job they're seeking. Mm. So I talk to them about what they have accomplished. So many people have included on their resume duties versus accomplishments. And I have to explain to them the difference between the two. Mm-hmm. And it's really important that whatever they're saying that they've accomplished, that they've included some type of ROI to the organization in which they worked and how that's going to relate to the new organization where they're applying.
Yes.
So if someone has 10 things on their resume for one particular position, I want them to look at those 10 things and customize them to the new job. So now they only might have 5 things because you don't need to include everything on your resume.
How about when you get through the interview, the thank you note? I heard you just talking to students, Linda. How soon should you send the thank you note?
The new thinking is that you send it between 2 and 4 hours after the interview, and definitely no more than 24 hours.
Because of email
the
technology.
Yes, absolutely.
And is this something that students also have to get used to, the idea of sending a thank you note?
Absolutely. Everyone should be sending a thank you note. Remember, we've taken up someone's time, and they care enough about us to meet with us. We need to care enough about them to say thank you for that.
They say it's a full-time job to look for a job. Do you agree?
Totally.
How much time do you have to invest in it?
Totally. It's a full-time job. It depends if you're out of work or if you're still working. But either way, you need to spend enough time and energy on whatever position you're seeking. And it could become a full-time position. But it's always better to have a job when you're looking for a job. Always.
Yes, interesting. Well, a final question, and this might just take us a little bit of time. Let's talk a little bit about the importance of your work in helping people find what fulfills them or their mission, something that makes them happy when they go to work each day. How often do you spend time talking to the students or the clients about that and helping them move in that direction?
Well, speaking from my own experience, I think that depending on the student's past experiences with internships, they may or may not end up in a first job that's going to be fulfilling. I've seen students who've had two internships in a row with a Big Four accounting firm, they've hired them, and that's their dream job. That is exactly what they wanted. They worked toward that. They earned that. They got that. And I've seen people who have come in and said, I've sent out 100 resumes. They've got an Excel spreadsheet. They've sent follow-ups. Nothing. And, you know, we revisit the resume at that point, and we might need to take it back a notch and say, you know what, this is a very difficult field, you know, that you're breaking into. It could be the difference between accounting and media and communications.
Which was my experience.
Exactly.
When I had all accounting.
Which is all of...
When I was breaking into radio and television, sure.
So, and you know the importance of connections in that industry in particular. So it's difficult for students to not compare themselves with their mates, peers. With their peers. They do it. But, you know, everybody's got to chart their own course, and every course is going to be different, and some are going to be more difficult. I think we have a mutual friend who picked up and moved out to California, to L.A., because she thinks that she's going to find her dream job in the field of communications there, and she's working very hard toward that. So she's following her dream.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Not everyone has the... wherewithal to do something like that. So, it's different for everybody. It's different for everybody.
Yeah, for my clients, I talk to them as many times as they want to talk to me. Because remember, they're paying for my services.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been successful, or they've been successful, I should say, in finding their dream jobs. I've had people who've relocated from New Jersey to Colorado within... 3 months, they gave themselves a 3-month goal and they succeeded. I was thrilled for that individual. Someone else wanted to find a position in medical humanities and she did that after talking to me 6 times. So that might have been a couple of months again. So it really depends on the individual and how much time they put into their search.
Very good. Well, I want to thank you both. This has been really valuable information. Our guests have been Christine Saluga and Linda Luciano. Our thanks to our students, Drew Timothy, Sunny Gupta, and Oman Shrestha for their production assistance. I'm Colette Liddy. Join us next time for Caldwell University Conversations.